I next met with Dr. Eitan Stein from Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York, and to begin, he presented a patient from his practice.
So this is a 65-year-old woman who came to me about 8 or 9 months ago with a new diagnosis of acute myeloid leukemia. We did her bone marrow biopsy, and like many patients, she had a FLT3 internal tandem duplication. As you know, that's seen in about 30% of patients with AML, typically is thought to confer a poor prognosis. And therefore, we try to treat these patients with something novel. Now, since the time that I treated that patient, the drug midostaurin has been approved for FLT3 positive patients, so that the combination of induction chemotherapy with 7+3 plus midostaurin would be now the standard of care for a FLT3 positive patient. Back then, when I was treating her, midostaurin wasn't yet approved, so she was placed on a clinical trial of another FLT3 inhibitor called crenolinib with 7+3. She got that induction chemotherapy. She achieved a complete remission. She went on to get a round of consolidation chemotherapy, although the ultimate goal was to get her to an allogeneic bone marrow transplant. She's of an ancestry where it was a little bit difficult to find her a donor. And because of that, we gave her a cycle of consolidation chemotherapy with the crenolinib while she was awaiting her donor to become available. Donor became available. She got her allogeneic bone marrow transplant, had a little bit of graft versus host disease post-transplant of the skin, nothing serious. And then unfortunately, about 6 months later, she relapsed, again with her FLT3 ITD disease. So at the time of relapse, there is occasionally some discordance between whether the patient will retain their FLT3 ITD or whether they will have a new FLT3 ITD. So at the time of relapse, it's always important to check a molecular panel again just to see if the molecular genetics have remained similar to what they were at the time of diagnosis.
If I could just ask, and if you could review the types of FLT3 alterations that are seen, and also how often you see a change, either somebody who's negative who later on becomes positive or vice versa.
Yeah, so there are two predominant types of FLT3 alterations. There's the internal tandem duplication, which is the most common, where a part of the gene becomes duplicated, which activates the gene and causes proliferation of blasts. And then the other flavor of it is a tyrosine kinase domain mutation. The most common tyrosine kinase domain mutation that you will see in practice is the D835Y mutation. And occasionally, patients can have both a FLT3 ITD and a FLT3 TKD. So you can have one without the other, or occasionally you can have both. What you asked about the rate of discordance between diagnosis and relapse, it's about 30%. So about 30% of patients who do not have a FLT3 ITD at diagnosis will develop one at relapse. And similarly, about 30% of patients who did have one at the time of diagnosis, actually maybe a little bit less, about 20% will not have one at the time of relapse.